Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you could carry around with you in your pocket. We are here in downtown Lincoln, Nebraska. We are at the state tournament, and more specifically, we are at the Mellow Mushroom right across the street from Pinnacle Bank Arena here in the Rail Yard District. And we want to thank Mike, great host here, great manager, always takes care of us during state tournament time. I'm here with two esteemed colleagues of mine, Mr. Dexter Goodner, assistant women's basketball coach at Hastings College. Mr. Goodner, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me again.
You bet.
It's always a great time.
And Mr. Dave Hubert, the man, the myth, the legend from Ashland Greenwood, the head girls basketball coach at Ashland Greenwood. Coach Hubert, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So things are picking up here. We have survived the state tournament blizzard of 2025 to successfully get here today, and the crowd is starting to pick up. We've got a nice matchup here coming up after us here, Millard South and Millard West. So that should be a good one as well, and we're ready to go. But we're going to talk hoops here for about 45 minutes or so. Carter Plum will have his Mellow Mushroom pizza review here at the end of the podcast, and he's very enthusiastic about it. If you could see him right now, so guys, let's talk about the state tournament. I mean, it's always a great time of year, and there's always something to learn, whether you're playing, whether you're coaching, whether you're just observing, you know, whatever it may be, you know, and this was shameless plug, part of the opening tip, newsletter this past week, how to learn from the state tournament, even if you're not there. So what are some of the things that you're looking for while you're down here? Dexter, why don't you go ahead and get us started, buddy?
So I'm in a unique position just because, you know, I'm not looking to have teams that I might play in the future or players I might see. You know, I'm scouting players and seeing what girls, you know, we should be recruiting, but also, yeah, picking up on a lot of things. Something that I just love about the state tournament in general is just the environment. I mean, there's something about when you walk into Devaney or you walk in Pinnacle and it's state tournament time, and it's just, you almost get goosebumps when you walk in. It's just so, you can just feel that energy and how it's just different than a normal high school game. You know, I go to a lot of high school games throughout the year, and being here right now, it's just so fun. Things that you're picking up on, and I think this is just so true at any level of basketball. When you watch teams play and you can just kind of see, even if you don't know all the players, you can see when the ball is going to go in the hoop just by making the right basketball play. Mm-hmm. Like when you're watching the state tournament, the teams that you know are going to win are the ones that are just making the extra pass. And mm-hmm. I love to see that, and you know, just to see what teams are doing offensively to get them to get to the next pass. And then you can go, of course, go talk to the coaches and say, what are we drilling to be able to get to those spots?
But I
love that, and I love to see the unselfishness when you get down here, because throughout the year you can kind of see girls you know, try to get their own type of thing, and when you get here, you can just tell the teams that it's about winning here.
Yeah.
And it's about making winning plays, and that it's just so special to see.
And it's no coincidence. The teams that are trying to get their own, the players that are trying to get their own, they're usually not here.
Yeah.
They're usually not here. That's
exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you miss that part of it, you know, from the high school to the college stuff?
I'm in such a lucky position because I have such an amazing group to work with. Our coaching staff is amazing, and the girls that we have are just so awesome. It reminds me a lot of high school, honestly, just the way that the girls interact with each other, the way that we're playing the game right now. They make it so I don't have to miss it so much. I do miss, like, coming down and coaching in this environment and coaching here, and just, like, the sense of community. Mm-hmm. I'm also really lucky to be in Hastings, where they do a really good job of supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a small town, I coached a small town. So like when you make the state tournament, it's like everybody's out to go watch, and every place.
Let the looting begin when everybody leaves. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you still get that at Hastings. You know, it's kind of a smaller town. And so when you go out, you go to the store, you still get those, like, people that are always like, great job, coach, you know, good luck. And so, yeah, it makes it so I don't miss it so much.
Yeah. Dave, what about you? What are you looking for down here?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always get a program and I go through each team, and I've had the, I guess the luck or the chance to come down with Class A teams, Class B teams when I was helping Jerome, and then now at C1, trying to get down here in the C1, in Class C1. I always go through the program, and A, I always look at who's graduating, and because graduation's a good thing when you got to compete against some of these teams. So I always look at the graduation, their points, their impact, and how that team's going to look next year, and whether we play them again or not. And honestly, the two things I look at, and I was thinking about this morning over at Devaney, the players physically, how strong they are, how tall they are, what types of players are playing in this day tournament, because I got to try to emulate that. I got to try to get our kids, especially my team last year, being freshmen and sophomores with no juniors and seniors on the team. How do I get my kids to look like those kids? And I think a year in the weight room, a year with agilities, a year playing on select teams. So I look at it from a physical standpoint. I'm comparing my players to the type of players that are playing down here, skill level. And second of all, I'm looking at these coaches and saying, okay, man or zone? Are most teams down here man teams or zone teams, fast break teams, or, you know, slow down teams? So I'm analyzing the teams that are down here and the coaching styles too.
Yeah.
So
I thought and because of the weather, we only got down here for the second game, but for both Bridgeport and Gothenburg, the ball movement was really, really, and that was just fun basketball to watch.
Absolutely.
And did Gothenburg get into the 70s?
I can't remember what the final score was.
You're here for one reason, and I asked one.
Come on, Dexter.
I'm the worst at that too.
But it was when we left, it was like 55-38, but there was still like 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter when we left the facility. So
right. To go along with that, like watching that game, that just the ability to shoot the basketball, you know, you're talking about skill. And as I come down here and I'm watching, like, in that game, so Bridgeport makes a run, and just the ability to hit shots, like the kids all over the floor. It used to be you have one or two girls you really got to worry about from the 3-point line, and it just looks like if you leave a girl open, like, it's going in the hoop, you know, and that's it's really fun to see.
Did you notice the depth of the three? They're not toeing the line. These kids
are
3 to 4 feet behind. I noticed that with Gothenburg. I couldn't believe that they were pulling up from 22, 23 feet effortlessly.
Yeah.
And used to be girls couldn't.
No.
That's the strength thing that I'm looking at. And, and the ball movement leads, good passing leads to good shooting. And I'm looking at their ability to skip that ball and throw overhead passes was phenomenal.
Yeah. And I wondered when that transition happened. Of course, in the women's game, we kind of want to look at Caitlin Clark of the deep three, or even like Steph. But I don't know when that transition happened, but it was definitely very evident in that game for both teams that they're not stuck to the line. They will back up. And as a college coach, that's great because our line is farther back. And I don't know if that's part of it too. You know, if like these kids that are, you know, going to trainers or doing those things of like, hey, let's back you up so that way a college coach knows that you can hit from here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, it's crazy once you start to shoot from the college line how it just becomes second nature. And then all of a sudden you get to like the high school. Like, we went and practiced at a high school gym on one of our road trips, and it was like, this feels like a mid-range. Like, it's crazy how like all the girls can just transition pretty easy.
Yeah.
And one thought that came up for me was that I wonder how many of those kids are multi-sport athletes, because that leads into the physicality. I mean, I'm watching those kids in that last game, and I know Lincoln Christian girls, because we play Lincoln Christian, they can flat out shoot it. But I don't know Gothenburg and Bridgeport, those teams for a while. How many of them are multi-sport athletes?
I'm guessing most of them are. Yeah. Now, when we go across the street in 45 minutes, those are going to be your specialized kids at the Class A level for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And yeah. In talking to some of those girls, they still have some that do other sports for sure. But yeah, it's at that, at like C1, the Gothenburg girls all do something else as well. So
how has that changed what you're looking for recruiting wise? Are you at the point now where even unless a kid is a stud at what they're able to do, whether it's athletically or in the post area or whatever it may be, ball handling, just whatever. But are you at the point where it's like you pretty much have to be at least a competent shooter in order to get a look?
Not necessarily. Yeah. It's interesting because I'm a high school coach by trade, right? So like I'm looking at player development. So for me, we had a girl, a post this year that we stat everything, you know, preseason, and we were doing preseason scrimmages, and she was shooting like 11%. Our head coach was like, "Do you think you can turn her into a shooter?" I'm like, "She's going to be a shooter." And then, yeah, she was like third in the GPAC in 3-point percentage by the end of it. Right now, like for me, what I'm looking at is, do they have a repeatable movement? Is there like, you can always tweak shooters, especially when they get to the college level where they're going to have more time because they are going to be specialized all of a sudden to be able to tweak a shot, to be able to put more reps into a shot. But also, athletes are athletes, right? So, like, you don't have to just be a shooter if you could just be an athlete and adequate on the basketball floor. Like, it's hard to replace that. So, yeah, not necessarily, but it definitely helps. And if you want, like, for kids, if you're telling them, like, okay, you want to go play at the college level, shoot. Shoot a lot. Score. Because there's a lot of girls that can defend. Can everybody score? Can everybody shoot? That's what separates you, really. So you want to be a standout, be able to put the ball in.
Now, how much of that is, I was thinking about that when I saw, you guys didn't see the Lincoln Christian game, but with Maddie, Asenbaugh, I think. But and we watched Lincoln Christian work out they were in our district. So we were watching them work out the night we played before. And it seems like just shooting the ball isn't enough. There's a lot more time spent on scoring the ball, which is it used to be the Euro. Now I'm watching them work on things that were way different than the Euro. And I saw it today, Maddie, in the game today, and on tape, I saw her do it. There's a lot of skill footwork around the rim with the hop, not the Euro, but there's other, born in the 60s, so
right.
I barely can work my cell phone, but you might know some of these, the names of some of these moves and things that they're working is.
Yeah, and it is like, that's a huge progression of the game, right?
Yeah.
Because like things that we normally, what we used to think of as travels, now realizing, and even as you go through the rule book and seeing, it's like, oh, okay, it's not necessarily a travel. Like we would always, if someone were to step through, be like, oh, well, they switched their pivot foot. Well, no, because the pivot foot didn't return back to the ground.
Yeah.
And so like now people are just expanding on that.
Yeah.
And it's just growing around the rim. And then like the types of finishes that you're doing, right? So like for us, it was always right foot, right hand, you know, and now we're doing opposite. Now we're doing outside the body finishes. Now you're doing certain spots where you'll just kind of say you have to hit this on the backboard. And then, yes, that like that is playing a huge part in the game now.
Yeah.
And I think for me personally, it comes from, you got to be able to shoot from range if you want to be able to get in close. Like otherwise you become, you know, too one dimensional.
Yeah.
And so I always start out the year with like tons of reps, just like on the gun, your shooting machine, just to kind of get that flow. And then we'll work into finishes. And then once you have basic finishes, then doing more elaborate ones and specific kind of to what the player skill set is. You know, if I have a player that is a bigger broad shoulder, being able to get to the rim, we're going to do some more bully ball stuff. If this, more slender athlete, we're going to do more of a,
finesse.
Yes. And outside the body finishes and like, you know, that sort of stuff.
I know the answer for me, but I'm going to ask you guys, if you had your choice, would you take great driver, average shooter, or great shooter, average driver?
Oh. Well, this is a little complex, but...
No, I don't want to hear depends. No, I don't want to hear depends.
My kid or bringing in a recruit depends on if I have great shooters around me.
I didn't want Hubert, follow the directions of the exercise.
Sorry, boss.
Yeah. No, seriously. No, just all things being equal. Great driver, average shooter, or average driver, great shooter. Which one would you pick? All things being equal.
Well, guarding wise, I've had more. I've figured out ways with triangle and 2-1-3 chase, ways of shutting down a great shooter that can't drive. But I have a hard time shutting down kids that can drive it without bringing help. And then that leads to the right
to the
kick.
One more.
Yeah,
to the one more. How about you, Dexter?
That's so tough. I go back and forth with it. I didn't know this exercise was that complicated. I've had both.
Yeah.
And a lot of times postseason, you want somebody that can get to the hole, right? Somebody that can go score. It's going to be a bucket for sure.
And I'm not saying they're a terrible driver. I'm saying they're average driver, but great shooter.
Then I'm going to go
the other way.
I'm going to probably go great shooter in that sense, just because having the threat of a great shooter opens everything up for everybody else.
Yes.
And if they're adequate at driving.
Yeah. That's the way I would go. I would want the great shooter that's an average driver.
But how many great shooters are you going to have? I can go triangle and 2 and I can shut. How many you got? 3 or 4 of them?
I mean, I don't know my roster. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, I thought you were trying to build it for fantasy football or fantasy game or something.
But Huber, you're giving me gray hairs, man.
I have a question for you, though.
Okay, all right. What's your question?
It goes along with what Coach just said. And I want to see what you guys think of this. I was a 3-point shooter in college, and I loved it, but everything was toeing the line.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's like a free throw to me, because it's the same distance no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are recruiting girls. There's 50 different.
The corner three is different than the top of the key or above the break.
If you're 5 inches off the line, that's a different three than you're 6 inches, 7 inches, 8 inches, 2 feet, 3 feet. How do you get reps, or does it matter? I mean, is there people that can shoot it at 21 feet that now 22 is a different shot, or 19-3 is exactly like a free throw, it's the same?
Yeah, I mean, like for the most part, if they're able to shoot consistently on the line, they're able to shoot from farther back.
It's a different shot.
I know, but...
It'd be like going to a free throw and backing up a foot and shooting.
Yeah, but I think that you don't... When you think about like mid-range jump shooters, right? Like the really good mid-range jump shooters, they don't have to. Yes, they can get to their spot, right? When you think of like Michael and Kobe, they would get to their spot, and shoot. But it wasn't like they had to be there. You know what I mean? Like, and the distances could vary. A lot of these kids just have that feel, and we do rep it, of course, of whether you're on the line or deep, and we do rep deep threes as well. But they just kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had echo in my...
No, it's okay. No, yeah, hey, you're good, buddy. You're good, you know. Maybe in the next couple of months, if a pen and a napkin can generate a little bit more revenue, maybe we get some better headphones than what we've got right here.
But with these guests, I mean, it's a really good possibility.
Absolutely. So one of the things that came up in the group chat, and as we were trying to figure out what we wanted to talk about today, and I think it's a great topic, especially this time of year. A lot of times, like you guys are waiting to get into postseason play, and you got this big break before tournament starts. A lot of times, when you're going from sub, a sub district to a district, you got a week off, or you win your district and you got a week and a half off before you get to the state tournament. I think one of the great challenges that a lot of coaches face is how are we going to stay sharp? How are we going to make sure that we are clicking on all cylinders to the best of our ability as we go on to the next step of things? And it's tough. It's a tough challenge. It's stuff that keeps you up at night, so to speak. Dave, I'll go ahead and let you start on this one here. What are some things that you've done over the years to, when you have that extended break before sub-state or the state tournament or whatever, keeping your team, because you're used to playing two or three times a week,
right?
And now you got a whole week off here to prepare. So,
well, I can tell you, I've thought about this a lot, and I can tell you one thing I did do was I did too much. I was so excited to go, and I'm kind of a guy that would practice up to 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours when I was a young coach, back in the early 90s. And it's too long. It's too long. And I was just raised that if you want something, you just go harder, faster, more, and just push your way through it. You figure it out. If 100 threes is good enough, shoot 300 threes, and it'll be better. So I would say keep it simple. I've overcoached to losses in the state tournament several times. Kids, scouting reports, they're too complicated. You don't need to know what the girl's GPA is and what, you know, her favorite food is, you know, and you got to slim that stuff down. I've learned that as I've gotten older to grandpa stage now, which I am.
That's slightly disturbing that you know those things.
Over-scouting.
Some kid from Millard's house looking outside his window as they're eating lasagna. What's Hubert doing here?
Yeah, exactly. I know, walking up down the sidewalk, seeing my... No.
Digging through the trash like he's in the FBI.
I mean, honestly, I've thought about this a lot.
Sure.
And I've overdone it so many times and been... just because I was excited to get here and wanted to do really well. Don't scout your second opponent. Get ready for that next round. I've done that and lost the first round several times. Don't have three or four dinners. Everybody wants to buy you a dinner and do this. Have one team dinner, team bonding dinner with no sleepovers. They get tired. We've done all of that where you, oh, it's team bonding. The girls want to get together and want to have dinner and they want to stay overnight. No. I would do three things I would work on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shooting. That includes free throws.
Yeah.
Okay. Your normal skill work, like your rebounding drills, everybody just puts those on the shelf till next year and then works on special plays. And I would only, I'm a defensive guy. So one of my biggest mistakes was I would over teach the girls the opponent's offense and specials and names for the specials. And we're calling out the names before they're, and their girls are like, how do they know what we're running? Well, too much, way too much. I would teach one or two things that the other team does well at that you want to take away and leave it at that. And I'll give you a perfect example. Back in the early 2000s when Tommy Lee was at Omaha North.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Christine Eneman and all
Christine
that.
Christine Eneman was playing and she went to Creighton, as you know. We were up 10-0 the first quarter, end of the first quarter, because we overscouted. We knew everything. We've done things like where if a team runs a horns look, we go to an upside down triangle and two because it matches to that. And then you shut them down. And then when they go to their five out look, then we go from horn to triangle and two to man. So that was great. It got us up 10-0. Tommy Lee, being smart guy that he is, says, okay, fine. You want to play chess? Okay. We're going to make a track meet out of it. You can't keep up with Christian Eneman. Mm-hmm. So then he just, bam. Well, how do I handle that?
Yeah.
I can't overcoach that. He just said, Christy, get the ball off the rebound and take it the other end. Pretty soon, we found ourselves behind by halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you can overdo it and overcoach. And so I think I would slow down and keep things simple and not just because it's the state tournament. You got here for a reason because you did things well consistently. Stay with it.
Yeah.
I think, to go with that, it's a really good point of like what got you here, right? And wanting to like really overcoach the first game, especially. Everybody wants to do that. You want to know exactly what the ins and outs are. But at the end of the day, what's going to win you the second round? Your basics, what you're just good at fundamentally, right? So like, when you're going to go over defense, you want to know a little bit of what they're doing for sure. You don't want the kids to go in and be like, oh my gosh, this is completely different. But also your fundamentals, your base, be really good at that, right? Like whether you're man or zone, whatever, just you can really take some time here to really pinpoint these things to be better at. You know what your weaknesses are. You can kind of address them.
And I always thought it was really kind of, it was hard as far as like conditioning goes, right? So like, what do you do for, even with us right now, of like, you want to be in game shape, but you also don't want to just run them in the ground. And you're at the time of year probably where you can do a lot of like game speed type of drills and stuff. But like to emulate gameplay is kind of hard. So like, what do you do as far as your conditioning when you when you're getting ready?
I think what we would do is we would just keep it kind of like what Dave was saying. We would keep it as normal as possible. Probably it always kind of stuck in my head. Dr. Ken Rodas from Hastings College, you know, get in. If you're going to do anything more than what you normally do, it would be shooting.
Yeah.
Just shoot more than you normally do, but don't forget about your fundamentals. Like we talked about, don't get so caught up in scouts that you're just spending 3 days, you know, beating that into their heads.
Right.
You know, you gotta stay with what you are, but maybe pull back a little bit on the physicality, but you still got to have some physicality. Yeah, you still got to have. I mean. You don't think about it, and I think this is in some ways the way you have to think about it. Obviously, basketball and the way your players' bodies are in early March are much different than the way they are in early December. They've got 3 months of wear and tear on them.
Right.
But if you're going to do a rebounding drill on December 5th, you're not worried about this, that, or the other thing with the physicality of it. So why does that change on March the 5th? You know, you're still checking in. Probably whenever you play your first national tournament game, it's going to be as physical or probably more physical than anything you've done all season.
Right.
You know, so you've still got to keep that knife pretty sharp in the drawer. And if you've sharpened it up to a good point as the season has gone along, you don't have to sharpen it too much, but you still got to make sure that it's ready to go.
Right.
And one thing that just popped in my mind that I think that experience gives you is that you have to do spot checks throughout the season. Don't try to catch up on all those deficiencies that you failed to do at the last minute. You're going to overload your kids. And I've done that.
Correct.
Oh my gosh. We haven't worked on boxing out on free throws. Yeah. Well, we all know that, you know, free throws is huge, but also how do you handle a missed free throw? And now we're going to catch up. You're going to have a list a mile long, and your practice is going to be 3 hours, and it's going to be detrimental.
Right. Yeah,
you can't fix everything right before the state tournament.
Yeah. At some point, and I got this from Jim Calhoun. He had a list of and Calhoun's book. A lot of times when coaches write books, it's kind of crap. Sometimes, you know, but Calhoun's book, if you ever get a chance to read Calhoun's book, it's really, really good. It gets into the weeds. I can't remember the name of it, but he probably wrote it early 2000s-ish. It's much more into the weeds than an average coach's book is. And he had a whole chapter about going through a practice and how he puts together his practice plan and how he thinks about his season. And basically said, you know, here's 11, 12, 13, I forget the exact number, but somewhere in that ballpark, low teens of the let's say 13 things that are really important to the game. Based on your personnel and your philosophy, find four things that you're just going to be awesome at.
Yeah.
Find four things. Yeah. A passion to lead. That's what it is.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Find four things that you are going to be awesome at. Yeah. So like for my team last year, I knew we were young, but I knew we were athletic. I knew we could fly up and down around the floor. So we want to attack the ball. We want to pressure, you know, basically we want to make this a track meet and we want to finish well around the basket because we figure where if we're getting advantage situations, we want to finish well around the basket. We're going to the rim. You know, those are, you know, those three or four things that we wanted to be great at.
Right.
Pick four things that you're going to be okay at. You're going to spend some time on it, but you're going to be okay. And then you've got four or five things that you just hope what you do is good enough.
Right.
You just hope what you do is good enough to get you by. And it's impossible for any team, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you took those 13 things, there's four things that they're really awesome at. There's four things that they're okay at. And there's four or five things that, boy, they're just trying to get by on that, yeah, you know, or whatever it may be. And I think that's something that's always stuck in the back of my mind as I've constructed my teams. All right, what's our three, four things that we need to be really, that based on our personnel and the strengths of our kids, we need to be awesome at right. this if we're going to be successful. And there's certain things that you just don't have as much time on, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I were in your situation as a college coach, I would not spend a whole lot of time shooting free throws in practice because your kids could come in and get a bunch of free throws up in between classes. Absolutely. And different things like yes. that. Now, yeah. as high school coaches like Dave and I are, we've got to get those free throws in
yes.
during our practices for the most part. Maybe yeah. you've got a kid with a PE class or a free period or a study hall that they can go in and shoot right. or whatever. But for the most part, but that's the way I always kind yeah. of have kind of thought of that and how that can affect your end of the season as well.
For sure.
And I think one thing as you get closer to postseason and that type of thing. One other mistake that I have made, I don't think you want to change as a head coach and get more serious than you were before.
Yeah.
For instance, don't take the fun out of the game because now things are getting real right. for you. And so
if anything, you need to take the foot off the pedal a yeah, little bit.
I made this mistake and I'll give you an example. I don't know if I think I could say her name. I think that's fine. Used to play for me, Kelly Roerig, played at Michigan State in the national yeah. championship
yeah.
game for Michigan State against Baylor. That's how high she climbed.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was all her high school coach that got.
Oh yeah, it was all yeah, yeah, everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, during the season, I was pretty critical of her, and her mom called me and said, "Kelly's really losing her passion right now," because I was pretty intense, because I knew she could play right. at that type of a level.
Yeah.
So I was really right in her heart. And her mom said, "Well, she's almost to the point she wants to quit." And I said, "Well, you can't do that. We have a big game tomorrow." and so we go down.
Very empathetic. yeah.
So we go down and beat Lincoln Southeast, John Larson, Lincoln Southeast, and she sets the school scoring record at 42 points. But the night before, you know, so I could get demanding on with her at that point in the season. The day before we go and play, I don't know if it was Tommy Lee. I don't think it was that year. The day before we go to the state tournament, I'm doing a walkthrough, and this is where the mistake comes in. So we're doing a walkthrough. The door kicks open, and a friend of hers brought balloons to wish them good luck and everything. Well, I should have been, "Hey, come on in," you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. "Hey, come on in," and been, but I was in the middle. I was pretty intense, and I'm all worked up. Well, yeah.
You handled it the wrong way.
Handled the wrong way. Yep. And yeah, shut that door. "You can't get into our walkthrough. You know, blah, blah. We're in the middle of a walkthrough. You know better." Well, this player was upset on the bus most of the way down because of that incident. I handled it wrong and we ended up losing and she didn't play very well.
Yeah.
I would have been better off having that kid come in, bring the balloons and give every kid a balloon and say thank you and high five and everybody. But no, I'm Mr. Intense, Mr. Serious, and it cost us.
Yeah.
So you got to know when to bring that.
Yeah, I think that that's true too. Like you have to, it's fun for the kids, right? At the end of the day, they made the state tournament. Like,
yeah.
It's a big deal. It's exciting. Like, let them enjoy it too.
Exactly.
And we've done some things, like some silly things for practices. Like, one year, the girls wanted to play hide and seek. So, like, legitimately, practice got over. You know, we had a short practice, and it was like, okay, we're going to have a team-wide hide and seek in our high school. And so they went and hide everywhere. And, like, I think it, you know, it's weird to try to find that line of like, we want to be serious, but also like, we want this to be fun because like it's time to enjoy it. Right.
Yeah.
Like you found a way to get here. Not everybody's doing it. And I was the same way when I first made the state tournament, it was like, "Oh, we got to, you know, do this. And then, you know, I was lucky enough to make it the next year. And I really was just more aware of, okay, let's take our time to really enjoy this ride because you don't know when it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say, "Oh, we have a young team." I mean, even with us right now at Hastings, like we have a young team, like
Oh, but you don't know. You don't know when you're going to find. And I always tell the kids it's like that magic.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like everybody's enjoying
that it. Elixir is perfect. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And so get as much out of it as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to add other ingredients to it because it's already working. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like a crazy balance and of finding that.
Here's what a coach told me one time. And he had 11 state championships in a row. And he told me, he says, you can be critical, but it's almost on a gradient from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. You've got to become, you're critical and you're getting after them and you're demanding. And it has to be on a gradient where now, by the time you get to the state tournament, you are their biggest, not critic, you're their biggest cheerleader.
Absolutely.
So you got to change into a cheerleader.
Yes.
And but you can't do it on the last day, and they'll say, "Well, where was this guy all season?"
Right,
it's got to be a gradient,
absolutely. Yeah. Where you have to tear them down, and then just absolutely build them up. Where it's like 100%. All of a sudden we can't lose. You know, like when you go into it, like we are the absolute best. We're not going to get beat.
Yeah.
And just having that sort of mentality,
that mindset.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we're your biggest cheerleaders.
Yes,
and we're here. They're too late to make them great at boxing out the night before the state tournament. They are who they are. Enjoy who they are, and cheer the heck out of them.
Yeah, just give any team that has that confidence, we can't get beat. That's a tough team to beat.
Yeah,
I don't care who it is. Like if they just truly believe we cannot be beat, that's a tough out right there.
Yeah, and that's part of taking those jitters, turning your jitters into positive energy, because, you know, we've all been there. You've got people, because you make it to the state tournament or you're at the district final, people that have not been to a game all year are going to show up, and the crowds become bigger, it becomes more intense. All of a sudden that bad pass that they make on February 5th isn't that big a deal, but now they make the same bad pass on March the 5th, and and it's just like, hey, we just gotta go, we gotta enjoy this, we gotta, you know, take it all in, I think that's the, you know, one of the things that we would do to kind of prepare ourselves for the tournament was, you know, for 20 some games out of the year, you do your starting lineups a certain way and you just do it. But now you get down here and you have to do it the way that the state mandates that you do it. Right. So we would literally and the warm ups, and you can only go on the floor at X time. And so we would spend practice time explaining and going through, this is how it's going to look when you go through the warmups. And this is how we would literally go through the starting lineups. Everybody's going to be introduced and you have to go around this way. And then you have to walk into the middle.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
The freshman just running out there and they don't know where to go stand.
Like,
it's good to take that pressure off so they know.
Yeah. So that's another way that you can kind of reduce those jitters and that anxiety coming into the tournament as well. And I really think it's important, if you've never been there before, don't be afraid to reach out to other coaches who have been and pick their brains.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember, and I'm dating myself here in my seasoned and experienced estate, but the first time that we made the national tournament at Briar Cliff with Mike Power was the head coach, and myself and Jamie Sale were the assistant coaches. And just up the road over here a few blocks, we were at Barry's Bar with, it was us three and Gene Steinmeier and Dr. Ken Rodas, second Dr. Ken Rodas of the podcast here. But Mike did a great job of just asking, what's the national tournament going to be like? How do we do this? What are the warmups like? How do you get through, you know, because the nationals, especially the old way they used to do it, it was 10 minutes in between games. You were only on the floor. 10 minutes, go. And so they'd have hoops in the back that you could do some things on and differently. So you'd spend some of your warmup off the floor and then you came out. You only had 10 minutes to get used to those hoops. Wow. You know, different things like that. And that taught me, that was something I always stuck in the back of my head, that, okay, when you make that level the first time, and as we well know, and we're sitting there, literally the first time I can really remember my first a pen and a napkin experience was Rodas was drawing plays up for us. Hey, you might want to run this, because he had played one of the teams that we were possibly going to play. This worked well for us last year, you know. And but I, you know, most coaches are going to be very, very sharing.
Oh, yeah.
In those situations. So if you're not sure, send an email, make a call,
yeah.
make a couple of calls and pick the brains of those people that have been there before.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever, when asking for advice, I don't think I've ever been turned down by a coach.
Right.
Well, I've turned you down a couple.
That's not true. but yeah, you know, cause everybody, like we got into it for a certain reason, you know?
Yeah.
And so we want to give, share information, and we're all stealing from each other anyway.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, that is something for young coaches, especially, like, just reach out, learn. And I heard this from Don Meyer when he was presenting. When you're a young coach, you don't know everything.
Correct.
And a lot of times you think that you do, and you think, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. There's somebody out there that knows more and
yep.
can help you. And so don't be afraid to reach out and get help.
And you know, you talk about those jitters, right? For your players. I think one of the biggest things, because I did the same thing, you know, I talked to Kelly Flynn up at South Sioux, a guy
who's just been a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. And who's been
just
down
kidding,
here.
Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the biggest things you can do is you don't want any last minute unforeseen emergencies. I don't have my shoes. So you want to see a player not play well, have their parents come running with their shoes in during warmups, and they got their track shoes on out there in warmups and twist an ankle or do whatever. And I've seen it all. And or their jersey, the wrong jersey. So you think we're home, they're away.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
What I experienced that firsthand, you mentioned Briarcliff. I played in that conference at Westmar.
Yeah.
So up at the Corn Palace up in Mitchell, South Dakota, I was a freshman. I made the varsity. Yeah. Well, guess who warmed up with just a warm up on and a bare chest underneath, no jersey. and guess who with a coach? I'm a freshman. I'm not going to play, right? I mean, halfway through the season, he brought me up. He reaches down there. He were getting the game. I can't. And I got to explain it. I ain't got a jersey, right? Yeah. So there's things that can happen to you. And that was in the Corn Palace, by the way. That was my experience in the Corn Palace. But anything you can do with your experience and laying it out, not keeping it too stressful, but not too easy going either, where people are forgetting things, they're not organized,
exactly right.
Now you got a problem.
Yep. Yeah, you could even give them like a little checklist, make sure you've got this. Yeah, but we would do that a lot on bus. All right, everybody got this. Everybody got their shoes. Double check. Open it up. Make sure you got
do that. We do bag checks. Yeah. Senior led bag check, like before we left for the state tournament. Like, do we have these things?
Oh, yep.
That'll cause a lot of stress.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need more stress.
No, exactly. Great stuff, guys. Dexter, could you give your mic here to Carter
real
quick? We got to get the Carter Plum Mellow Mushroom review here. Carter's down here with me this week, our annual sojourn down to Lincoln here. Carter, what'd you order for us today?
I ordered a pepperoni pizza.
Just a
basic pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. And how was it?
It was fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
We are in the Gen Z. Are you Gen Z? Fire?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a Zoomer.
He's a Zoomer.
Do they have pizza in Brookings?
Yeah.
What's your favorite place in Brookings?
George's. They're open till 2 a.m.
He's up studying.
Yeah. So he's just getting home from the library.
Right.
Pizza by the slice.
He's got too much of his father's genetics. I know that's not what's going on. I know that's exactly what is not going on. So, another solid pie from Mike and the group here at the Mellow Mushroom.
Yep, as always.
As always. Awesome. So, well, we are going to wrap up here. We are just about 5 minutes away from tip over across the street here. Why don't you give that back to Dexter real quick? Yeah, just a great conversation. A lot of really good stuff that we covered here today, guys. I mean, it wasn't a terribly long conversation, but man, we hit a lot of really, really good things for coaches. What's that?
One of us was late, so that was
somebody thinks that their full-time job recruiting players for their program is more important than coming on the podcast. I'm not going to mention anybody's selfish behavior. But no, want to thank you guys for coming out here today, braving the weather. You know, Mellow Mushroom is a kind of a state tournament staple for a lot of people, especially if your games are at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. Mike and his staff just do a great job. They treat us so well here every year. We will be back here. This will be dropped on Thursday. So tomorrow we're taping this Wednesday, in between the first and second sessions, but we will be back here on Friday as well with, I actually got quite a few people lined up. I don't know who exactly is going to show up, but we're going to have some people show up on Friday, and we're going to have that ready to go. So if you are hearing this on Thursday or Friday morning, and if you want to stop by and say hello, we'll be here at about 12:15-ish at the Mellow Mushroom across the street from Pinnacle Bank Arena. And again, just come out and support Mike and his crew because they do a great job. It's a great product. They do things the right way here. They take care of everybody. So I want to thank Dave. Want to thank Dexter for coming on here. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
It's always fun. It's great.
Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.